Bad to the bone. Now, I'm going to get this out of the way because I know I'm going to get emails going, hey, cool makeup job and all that. But reality, you too, if you come play basketball with us on Tuesdays, could be bad to the bone. All right? 7 stitches here, I think 6 with the other guy. So it's kind of like superheroes colliding, and we found out we weren't superheroes. So, yeah. We've been looking at an Old Testament marvel of God, a guy by the name of Samson. And Samson is the original Avenger. He was chosen by God. He was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And he had this unbelievable God-given potential. He's anointed with superhuman strength, but he had this dangerously weak will. You know, Samson was a Nazarite. We've talked about that he had taken a Nazarite vow from birth. His parents had taken it for him, and then as he grew up, he took the vow on. And he was not to touch anything that was dead, anything that was unclean. He was not to eat or drink anything with grapes in it, which also meant no alcohol, and he was not to cut his hair. Those were the things he wasn't supposed to do. We found out early in this series that Samson went down to a place called Timnah, and that he went down, and it wasn't just geographically the direction that he was heading, but that he went down spiritually in his life. When he was in Timnah, he saw this smoking hot Philistine woman. And this was a woman that was to be off limits to Samson. She was an ungodly Philistine woman. And it was kind of lust at first sight for him. And he kind of throws caution to the wind. He pursues her. He doesn't care what his parents had to say. He didn't care that it was wrong. He didn't care what God thought. But he went down. And down is what? Down. It's always down. Samson's pride takes him down some really dark roads. And I have said, pride usually will take you down those roads. And Samson, he started doing things he knew that he shouldn't be doing. He figured that he was strong enough that he could handle it. Physically, he was strong. But he had this very, very, very weak will in his life. Now, Samson, last week we found out he had already broken a couple of his Nazarite vows. He had betrayed God for a handful of honey. And when we left off last week, Samson was at a party that was being thrown in his honor. And he's getting ready to marry the Philistine girl. And what we're going to find out today is that he had some other vulnerabilities in his life. We're going to see that Samson was driven by his emotions. He was driven by his emotions, and it's that drive, allowing his emotions to kind of overtake him, that really takes Samson down even further. We're going to see that Samson was bad to the bone, all right? Samson emotionally is driven. I believe it's a problem that we all battle in our lives. In fact, everybody here is emotional. In fact, turn to your neighbor and just say, I'm emotional. Emotions are God-given. Emotions, they're not a bad thing, all right? But we are not to be driven by them. We're not to be driven by them. And I know as I say that, there's some guys out there right now, they're going, hey, dude, I am not emotional. You know, I'm strong. Women, they're emotional sometimes. Now, I'm guessing they're not thinking that if they're sitting next to a woman. But anyway, I'm not emotional. That's what us guys tend to think. But friends, we are all emotional. We just display it differently. No, I'm going to do a little bit of stereotyping. I realize that there are exceptions. There are always exceptions to the rule. But generally, women kind of process their emotions different than guys. True? True, guys? Wouldn't you say that's true? Women say absolutely. You know. Now, for instance, women women predominantly like to talk about emotions. You know, men, we don't talk too much about them. And in fact, we tend to act on our emotions. You know, a woman gets angry, what do they want to do? They usually want to talk about it, right? You know, they might pick up the phone, call a girlfriend, have them over for tea, and they talk about it, kind of talk through it. I can tell you, I have never had a guy call me on the phone and go, hey, Damon, feeling a little emotional today. Could you come over, have some tea, maybe we could talk about it? It doesn't happen. Never had it happen in my life. Now I'm going to have all these guys calling me. Hey, dude. I have got lots of calls from men through the years that go something like this. Hey, Damon, I did something really stupid, and I'm not sure what I need to do now. Do you have time for coffee? I've had lots of conversations. But the fact is, we are all emotional creatures. It's just, as men, we tend to act on our emotions. We don't talk about them a whole lot, all right? Now, let's be honest for a moment. How many of you would be willing to admit today that you have allowed your emotions to lead you to do something you knew you shouldn't have done? Come on, come on. Now, I remember Incredible Hulk. I mean, Bruce Banner. He would get in situations, and something's happening, and he's got someone kind of pushing his buttons, and when his emotions would get really pressed, he had a line that he always said, and he said, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And then it kind of that point of no return for him, and mild-mannered Bruce Banner. He would transform into the Incredible Hulk, this out-of-control Hulk. The Hulk was, help me, bad to the bone. I mean, he was bad. When the dust settled, this guy, usually there was property damage and carnage and people got hurt. And what was always interesting, afterwards, when he cooled down, there was a lot of regret, wasn't there? See, here's the deal. Emotions, they're fine. They are God-given. But friends, when you allow your emotions to drive you, when your emotions go unchecked, well, watch out. Watch out. People destroy relationships. They lose friends. They lose jobs. They lose face. And sometimes they even lose their life in the process. I remember my girls were little, and we were going somewhere. I don't remember where we were going, but we're driving along, and this carload of boys go flying around us. And they're throwing garbage out the window, and a soda hits my car and just splashes all over it. And friends, I'll tell you, in a moment, it triggered something inside of me. You know, it fired up my emotions. I started thinking non-pastor things. Bad. Then one of the boys stuck his hand out the window, flipped us off. And, you know, my daughter, I told you she was little. She was maybe second, third grade, something like that. She goes, hey, Dad, they're waving at us. Do you know them? You know, and at that point, I'm really mad. You know, I'm thinking, there are three, maybe four boys in the car. They look really small. I can handle these boys. Did I tell you they were boys? And so they start trying to ditch me, and I'm in pursuit. You know, after about 2 or 3 minutes, high adrenaline action, you know. The Holy Spirit kind of spoke to me and was like, Damon, what are you doing? Think about this. Think it through. You know, how's this going to play out? And so I start thinking through the options, you know, like option one. I catch these boys and I whip them, makes the newspaper, pastor, knocks out trash-throwing villains, you know, or something like that. Option two, they whipped me, and it's a very embarrassing news story. Option three, get a speeding ticket, get in a wreck, get arrested. Option four, and this is the one that always dials me down. My girls are going to tell my wife. Going to tell Cindy what I've done, you know. So, friends, we are to be spirit-led in our lives, not emotionally led. Too many times when we allow our emotions to rule, we just act. We just act. Instead of being spirit-led, we just respond. We let those emotions run wild. And friends, when you don't put your emotions in check, it will take you down the wrong road. And down is, it's down. It's always down. You know, I don't know how this plays out in your home. You know, maybe you're heading home from work. And you know that you should be engaged with your kids and spend time with them. But emotionally, well, you're fried. You're tired. Emotionally, you want to just kick back, you know, veg out, watch a little TV. If you allow your emotions to rule, what happens is you don't do what you know you should do in your life, right? How many times does that happen? I mean, maybe you said something stupid. Maybe you did something stupid. And in your heart, you know you should apologize. But instead, pride kicks in. Anybody battle with that? There's no apology coming from you. Somebody makes you angry. And you know you shouldn't lash out. You know that. But instead, you don't filter the anger. You just explode. The Apostle Paul, he understood. He understood it is a battle that we all face in our lives. He writes these words. He says, I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Why? Well, because our tendency is we allow our emotions to rule us. You know, we do all kinds of things. I do it, you do it. Things we know are not right. Things we know are not God-honoring. Things we know, before we ever do it, we know it's not going to play well. But we do it anyway. Things we don't want to do, we do. Emotionally, we're driven. And I want to tell you today, there's a better way to live. There's absolutely a better way to live. Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, let the Spirit direct your lives. And you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are what? Enemies. And this means that you cannot do what you want to do. You know, Samson, he is emotionally driven instead of being spirit-led in his life. Samson, he pursues the Philistine woman, a woman that worshipped a false god. Samson's having this big party, and you should know the big party, it's going to segue right into a marriage ceremony, all right? Samson is, his bride is Philistine, which means there are lots of Philistines at this party that day. Scripture says there were 30 Philistine men, and they're all gathered up. And remember, the Philistines are enemies of God. Samson was to deliver Israel from these guys. But it's a party. And so a bunch of guys are gathered up, and the inevitable happens when you get a group of guys together. There's a contest. And what these guys do is they decide to compete with one another. You know, Samson kind of throws down the challenge. He says, and this isn't traditionally the kind of things guys do, but he goes, I got a riddle. Let's see if you guys can figure it out. And to make it fun, we're going to have a little wager. It's what guys do, right? Bet on stupid, silly things. Samson, he makes a stupid bet. He bets 30 Philistine men that they can't figure out the riddle in 7 days. Why 7 days? Well, 7 days, the party's over. They partied for a long time back then. 7 days, the wedding is to begin. The wager, it's 30 pieces of clothing. I know, that's not the kind of thing guys bet today, but that was the bet. Now, here's the riddle. He says, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. What's he talking about? Well, we talked about it last week. You remember that Samson killed that lion with his bare hands? And we talked about that the lion had been dead for some time, and he's walking by the lion sometime after that, probably a few months after that, and he sees these bees have taken up residency in the lion carcass. It's full of honey. Samson breaks his Nazirite vow. He's not to be near anything that's dead, let alone touch it. He eats a handful of honey out of a rotten lion carcass. And remember last week we said that's just nasty. It's just nasty. Scripture says after 3 days, the Philistines, they're stumped with this riddle. They're angry. Why are they angry? Well, they're losing the bet and they know it. And so they go to Samson's fiance and they threaten her. They tell her, they say, hey, you find out the answer to the riddle or we're going to burn down your family's home. And we will kill you and all your family. She uses the greatest weapon she has. She cries. How many guys is that a tough one? They start crying. Man, oh no, not the tears. She cries for days. Oh, Samson, if you really loved me, you would tell me the answer to the riddle. Please, Samson. And finally, Samson can't handle the tears anymore, and he gives her the answer. Scripture says, before sunset on the seventh day, the men, the Philistine men of the town, said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson is furious. They've figured out the riddle. Samson's mad. He's embarrassed. He lost this silly bet, and it comes with a high price. And he knows that his fiance helped them. Now, you're going to have to read the story because Samson says some really mean stuff. He feels like the Philistine boys have cheated. And he responds to the situation with raw emotion. He caves in to his weakness, this weakness of will. He doesn't battle it. Instead of being led by God's Spirit, he's driven by his emotions. In fact, he's going to be driven by two main emotions. Emotions that I believe bring a lot of people down. And these two emotions are bad. All right? They're bad to the bone. The first emotion is anger. Anger. It says, he went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. Samson kills 30 innocent men. He uses his God-given strength in an ungodly way. His emotions, they are white hot. He is on fire and just running full bore here. It says, and Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast. What just happened there? Samson lost a bet. Samson left the party. He went on a killing spree. I have no idea how long it took him to kill 30 men, but that's what he did. He brings the clothes back of these men, brings it back to the party, settles his bet, he gives them the 30 pieces of clothing, and then he storms home and he leaves his bride at the altar, all right? Remember, the party's supposed to segue into a wedding ceremony. Now, I am not sure of all the details because Scripture doesn't say, but what we know is Samson is at home. He's at his childhood home where he grew up. His fiance is at the altar to be married. She marries his best man. See, it's a soap opera, okay? Samson, the hothead, left the wedding. He goes home. At some point, he dials down, he settles down. He decides he's going to go back and kind of make amends with his fiance and the family. He gets back, he finds out she got married. And he goes into a rage. And friends, all I can say is it's bad. I mean, it is bad to the bone, this situation. Samson, he blames the Philistines for everything. This guy, he goes on a rampage. He catches 300 foxes. I can't even imagine. He must have been fast as well as strong. He ties their tails together. He puts a torch on each set, and he turns them loose. The fields are ready for harvest. Well, can you imagine two foxes, tail tied, now you set fire? They go crazy. They're running everywhere. They end up burning up all the fields. Now the Philistines are furious. Things are escalating in the story. And this one's going to get bad. I mean, the Philistines are angry. They blame the woman who was supposed to marry Samson. They burn her family home to the ground. They kill her and all of her family. See, the Philistines are driven by their emotions. We got Samson. He's driven by his emotions. And what I have figured out in life, emotional people, when they are driven by their emotions, are dangerous. Emotionally driven people do things that are ungodly, often do things that come with a really high price. You know, they travel down some really dark roads when you let your emotions run free. When you allow your emotions to lead you, well, watch out. In fact, for many, especially guys, Anger is our negative emotion, and it's kind of the default emotion in our lives. For instance, somebody embarrasses you. What happens? I mean, not only do we get embarrassed, but many times we get angry. You know, we let our emotions run, and then we're going, you know what? I'm going to show them. They will be sorry they ever did that. And anger kicks in, and man, it gets bad. How many of you would be willing to admit, how many of you have ever stubbed your toe? Let me see hands. All right, how many of you kicked the thing that you tripped over just for good measure? Come on. I had a buddy, we used to laugh about it, but there was a big pile of like used old lumber, and he tripped over it. And he got mad, and he started just kicking the pile of lumber, ran a nail all the way through his foot. Ooh, yeah, I got this. I didn't get an O. I mean, when anger kicks in, you do dumb stuff like kick piles of lumber. And when I'm reading this scripture, I think, what did Samson have to be so angry about? Think about it. Samson's the one that's pursuing the wrong woman. Samson's the one that decides he's going to marry her. Samson's the one that decided he'd ignore his parents' advice and everybody else's advice. Samson's the one that broke his vow with God. Samson's the one that decided he would taunt the Philistines with this ridiculous riddle. Samson's the one that gave the answer away. Nobody else knew except him until he told his fiance. Samson's the one that left his fiance at the altar. He's the one that killed 30 innocent men, takes their clothing, gives it to the guys to pay off his debt. Samson's the one that burned down an entire village and all their crops with 30 crazy foxes. Here's what I figured out about Samson. Samson is mad at the world. He's mad at the world. But here's the reality. Most of the mess that Samson's dealing with, it's his own fault. And there are a lot of people, I know a lot of people that are angry at the world. They're angry about this or that. They're angry at their spouse. They're angry at the economy. They're angry at the government. They're angry at their employer. And the reality, they ought to be angry at themselves. I mean, does this sound a little bit familiar? You know, people go, I hate my boss. I hate my boss. This has got to be the stupidest job I've ever had in my life. And you're angry. But maybe you're really angry because you didn't finish school. Maybe you're really angry because now you're a little bit older. You realize you really sold yourself short. I can't believe. I mean, I cannot believe I didn't get the promotion. I've been here longer than anybody. But maybe you're mad at yourself. Maybe the reality is you know why you didn't get the promotion. You know that you were late to work way too many times. You know that you lost your temper. You know, you've taken some shots at people that you work with. Maybe you badmouthed the boss and now it's coming back to cost you. And you really just need to be mad at yourself. I hear this one a lot. Guys will go, you know, my wife, she's just not meeting my physical needs. This isn't right. And I mean, they get mad. But the reality, you haven't met her emotional needs for years. You know, you're not there. You don't help out. It's always, the world revolves around you. Maybe you need to be mad at yourself today. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe God's allowing this. And the truth is, if the truth were known, you are where you are because of a lot of bad choices that you've made. And you're blaming God, and I want to suggest maybe you need to blame yourself. Really, it's on you. And at some point in your life, you got to own it. You got to quit being emotionally driven. Friends, it's a battle. It's a battle. And it's a battle you will not win on your own. You have got to defer to God. You've got to defer to God's Holy Spirit and let Him lead you instead of your emotions lead you. Some of you just need to say, today's the day. Today's the day. I need help. God, I want your Spirit to lead me. I've let my emotions run wild and I need forgiveness. You know, for some of you, maybe some apologies need to take place today. You know, maybe you need to go to your spouse or your kids or your parents or a boss or a neighbor or a friend. And you just, no excuses. You just say, you know what, I was wrong. I need your forgiveness. And then make a commitment to not be emotionally driven. But to say, you know what, God, I want you to lead me. Samson, he is dealing with anger. That's one of his issues. He's got this superhuman strength, off the charts, God-given strength. He's using it in a very ungodly way. Samson won't own it because of his second issue. Samson has a pride issue. And friends, pride, well, it's bad. He finds a jawbone of a donkey. He goes up against a Philistine, really an army. He ends up killing 1,000 Philistines. This is UFC on steroids, all right? I mean, he goes crazy. Scripture says this when it was all done. Can you imagine? 1,000 men are dead because of him. It says, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I've killed 1,000 men. Do you hear this? Samson is full of pride. First of all, he's taking full credit for everything that he's done. I have killed 1,000 men. And Samson's also being a smart aleck, and we kind of lose it in the translation, but he says, I made a donkey of them. All right, if you look up in the Hebrew, it's much, much more crass than that. I have made blank, you fill it in, okay? Samson, full of pride. Samson, his pride is kicking in. It's something we all battle with. You know, look at me, look at me, look what I did. Do you love me now? Do you like me now? Have I done enough to impress you? And so pride, it pushes the boundaries. It's really born out of insecurity, you know. And I believe when we don't understand who we are in Jesus Christ, well, pride, it's one that trips a lot of people up, messes them up. Scripture says pride, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Pride comes before a fall. A great fall many times. You know, there are two sides to pride. Hey, look at me. Look what I've done. And the flip side is, I'm not asking for help. I am not going to let anybody see where I'm weak, where I'm struggling. But make no mistake about it, they're both pride issues. They're both pride issues, and they'll both mess you up. And pride's a battle. It's a battle in our society. We live in a society that's about winning. We live in a society that is very me-istic. It is all about me. This world exists for me. And when it's all about me, well, it's easy to be emotionally driven. We want to win. We want to be in control. We want what we want. Me, 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 me. And friends, if that's how you live, watch out. Because it is really easy to allow your emotions to drive you. So when you don't get what you want, you get angry. And if you're not careful, well, bad. Life will get bad to the bone. If you are continually driven by your emotions, you will end up going down some of the same roads that Samson went down. And down is down, always is. Samson had so much divine potential, God-given potential. And yet Samson continues to self-destruct. You wonder, when you're reading the story, if you don't know how it ends, you wonder, is Samson going to get it together or not? You know, at some point, friends, in your life, you have to lay your emotions down before God. You got to say, you know what, God, I am not going to be emotionally driven anymore. God, it is not about me. My life is not about me. It's about you. It's about your ways. It's about your desires. It's about what you want. And friends, when you do that, then you can be the person that God created you to be. See, I believe that there is the potential for spiritual greatness in every one of your lives. If you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, you can decide that you're not going to be driven by your emotions. You can decide that you will be a person of integrity, a person of character, if you allow God's Holy Spirit to guide you in every single area of your life. Did you catch that? I didn't say a few areas. Every single area of your life. And I know as I say that, for some of you, you're going, but Damon, you don't know what I've done. Damon, you don't understand what I'm doing. It's bad. Friends, your emotions can take you down some very, very dark roads. You know why I know that? I've been there. And I know for some, you're thinking, well, there's no recovery. I can't fix this. And you're right, you can't. But you are absolutely wrong when you think there's no recovery. You are wrong through and through. What you need to do is acknowledge before a holy God. You know, acknowledge whatever your sin, whatever your struggle is. And just ask God for forgiveness. Ask God to strengthen you. And you have a new day. A new day. Now, one final thought I want to talk about. If you let your needs, whatever they are, if you let them drive you to God, God will meet your deepest need. It's what happened to Samson. Samson kills 1,000 men. He basically becomes public enemy number one. They are trying to hunt him down. Samson kind of goes out into the desert trying to escape. He's on the run. He's out in the desert. Scripture says this, because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You've given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Samson's hiding in the desert. He's being hunted. He apparently has been out there for a while. Because you lose it a little bit here, but the fact is, Samson is weak now. He's thirsting to death. I believe Samson was probably dying at this point. He's been out there so long. He cries out to God. Scripture says, "Then God opened up the hollow place in Leah, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned, and he revived." It's a miracle. God is the main character of the story. God's the center. Samson is physically dying of thirst. His need physically is so great that it drives him to his knees. Samson, it's the first time we find him humbled. He acknowledges that he is in a terrible place. He acknowledges for the first time that God gave him the victory. And he cries out to God. And he prays to God. And God hears his prayers and answers him. God provides water. And Samson drinks the water. The scripture says that his strength returned and he was revived. Friends, when you return to God, when you're willing to humble yourself, cry out to God, you will find strength. No matter what you're going through. Not your strength, okay? But the strength of God. In other words, you can be revived. You can recover. You can come back to life. You can start over. You can be the person that God created you to be, no matter where you find yourself today. Hear this. God can do anything God wants to do through you, if you just surrender yourself to him and allow him to lead. Some of you need to hear that today. You need God. And God can do what God wants to do through you. When you bow a knee, when you surrender, and when you allow him to lead instead of your emotions leading. We'll pick the story up next week. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Our holy God, we praise you. God, I thank you for the promise of your word. God, I know there are those here today that they need revived. They need your spirit to speak into their life. They need to just be revived. God, I praise you that knowing that you have promised that when we return to you, that your grace is bigger than whatever it is we've done, whatever it is we're involved in, whatever it is that we've decided that goes all against you. God, I thank you for your grace. I praise you for the many times that I have been driven to my knees. And God, I know there are some that need to hit their knees before you today. God, I praise you for your grace. Amazing grace. And we celebrate that grace today. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.